Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Oi, the boys and girls on Footy Prime on occasion are known to use vulgarities and frankly appalling language, and sometimes the tales can get quite adult in nature, so keep the volume down if there are kiddies around, and thank you for listening.
Oh, let's go!
Booty, booty,
it's time to get this party started.
Booty, booty,
it's time to get this party started. You know that we are the number one show. So grab your fucking mates and now it's time to go. Cause it's the
booty booty.
It's time to get this party started.
It's the booty booty.
It's time to get this party started. With Danny, Jimmy, Gregor, Andy, Jimmy, JC. All we know and all we talk about is
booty booty.
It's time to get this party started tonight.
You're listening to FP Presents TFC Three Questions. Footy Prime, your almost daily footy fix.
Indeed, it is TFC Three Questions. Sharman, Brennan and Molinaro of TFCRepublic.ca here for you. How you doing, boys? Are you wide awake after a night match, midweek night match for TFC, which I always thoroughly enjoy as they beat Simcoe Rovers in the Canadian Championship 5-0, a semi-pro team. There's so much to get to, I think, around this game. Let's start with you, J-Mo. John Herbin was not happy, apparently, by his post-match comments with a 5-0 victory. Why was he not happy?
I don't know that I would go so far as saying he was unhappy. I think he was disappointed, and I think there's a difference. Because he's talked about one of the goals that the team set was wanting to beat sort of like the club record for most goals in a game, which was 6. So he said he wanted to score 7. Excuse me. TFC, dominated Simcoe, which I don't think is a terrible surprise given it's a semi-pro side with only 2 years of experience under their belt. And so I think he just really wanted kind of like a statement sort of performance in terms of, let's set a new club record here. John has talked about raising the standards at TFC, and that's something he said. We've talked about raising the standards here, and like we missed an opportunity to do that tonight. So, I think he was just a general disappointment that they fell just short of sort of a goal that they set. Now, whether that was something he should have communicated in public, because my understanding it's ruffled a lot of feathers, is another matter entirely. But I think that's where he was coming from in terms of, being somewhat disappointed about the performance. Obviously happy to progress and, that they avoided, what he liked to call a banana skin in the cup competition, because those can't happen. So he was, he was glad to see his team move on to the next round of the Canadian Championship, because it's an important tournament.
Jimmy, how are your feathers right now? Are they ruffled?
My feathers?
Are they ruffled after John says that, hey, we wanted 7-0. We only got 5-0.
I'm all right, because I'm actually a part of that record.
That's right.
So I'm fine.
Which game was that?
That was a Montreal game. We scored 6.
Oh, yeah, the crazy one, the miracle in Montreal.
Yeah, when we won the Canada Cup.
Yeah.
So I'm fine with that. But I understand he wants to break records and do what you got to do. But look, at the end of the day, you just got to beat Simcoe Rovers and get to the next round. And you're right. Sometimes those games at David and Goliath, those are the banana skins. And you've got to make sure that you put a good performance in. And look, they've got 5 goals. could have been more. They had an awful lot of shots and opportunities, but they've come away with the win. But I don't think he's – is he really disappointed that they didn't get seven goals? I mean, come on. He'll walk into the dressing room and be happy. He got a clean sheet, scored five goals, and he's through to the next round.
Is this the John Herbin that not too many people are privy to, J-Mo, in that he is a ruthless football manager? And you have to be, I think, to get to that level. We see John, and he's got all the sound bites, and he's got the big smile. He's a great interview. That the fans like him, a likable guy. But beneath that, I've always said he's a bit like a wolf in sheep's clothing, because you don't get to that level without having that ruthless streak. And to expect a 7-0 win against, listen, playing devil's advocate, a semi-pro team, mm-hmm. that you should be smashing. Is that, are we seeing like the inner John Herdman sneak out a little bit here for the public to see?
You know, maybe a little bit. But again, I'm probably in the vast minority here, but I think sort of the furor over this, if there is a furor, and there seems to be, because it's getting called out by a couple of people on social media, I just think it's way overblown. I mean, you know, people comparing this to, you know, the comments he made after the Belgian game at the World Cup, when he said, you know, we're going to F Croatia. I think that's a bit of a stretch. I mean, you know, they're not going to play Simcoe again. So it's not like this is sort of, you know, bulletin board material that Simcoe can put on its, you know, in the locker room and say, look what he said the next time we beat them or the next time we play them, because they're not going to, like at earliest, they're not going to play them for another year. And even if they do play them next year, it's probably going to be the same result. I mean, Simcoe is a semi-pro team. So, you know, what are they going to do about it? Honestly, no disrespect to Simcoe. I think it's a great story. I think it's, you know, fantastic what they're doing in the local community, but they're, you know, they can't compete against a team of TFE's resources. So, yeah, I mean, maybe a little bit of this ruthlessness is coming through with John. But again, I just, you know, I think people are sort of making way too much of this, to be perfectly honest. And I really don't see the big deal. I get that it comes across as somewhat lacking graciousness on John's part, talking about wanting to beat a semi-pro team 7-0. But, you know, this is pro sports. I mean, this isn't, you know, just kind of grow up a little bit. And, you know, it's not the end of the world here.
Yeah, I like that, actually. Grow up a little bit. 100% agree with you. Like, these are grown men playing football, all right? Simcoe can handle it. And, Jimmy, as an MLS team, Toronto FC, who's should be one of the top three teams in Canada, a former MLS champion, they should be expecting to smash a semi-pro team. 7-0. What's in that room? Put yourself in that room. I mean, you've been in these situations with Sean preseason before, right? When you're with a Premier League team or a league championship team, and you're playing a semi-pro team or a very lowly ranked team. Yeah. What's the message in the room? Smash them, right?
No. I mean, look, every manager's got their own way of dealing with situations. I would never be talking about another opposition saying we want to smash them 7-0, because I think you've still got to show a bit of respect. Show respect to the opposition, the competition. But behind closed doors, yeah, absolutely. Go in there and say you want to smash them. But out in the public, no. I don't agree with a lot of that stuff that happens. And look, I mean, we have played in the FA Cup in England when you're playing lower teams. And it's always difficult matches simply because a lot of the time those lower teams, I mean, this Simcoe Rovers, that's a cup final for them. That's a cup final for them playing just at BMO Field in the stadium against a Major League Soccer team. That's massive for them. So they're up for the occasion. That's where the maturity and experience from the MLS team has to come into play now, and where you've got to control the game. You can't let Simcoe get into the game. And, yeah, look, they got five goals. Brilliant. Okay, you're through to the next round. That's the job. The job is done. But I don't agree with coming out and saying, oh, we wanted more goals and we should have pumped them and this. You're playing against a semi-pro team. Yeah, go back and sit with the players and the staff behind closed doors and say, geez, we should have had 15 today. But I don't agree with it. But at the end of the day, look, they got the job. The job's done. But I think you're right, though, John. I think John Herdman's got to show a little bit more maturity at times and keep his thoughts to himself. Because you do. You have to respect the game and the opposition.
Yeah. I mean, it has to be said, too. I mean, just to put the comments in a larger sort of context – I mean, he was asked about the performance of his team, right? He wasn't asked about, you know, what did you think of Simcoe? And so he was kind of just talking about his team, about, you know, and, you know, he just kind of let out that he was disappointed that they didn't score 7 goals. I think the other thing, too, is, you know, he had some pretty nice, I mean, he applauded, like, Simcoe, right? Like, later on in the press conference, he talked about how, you know, he really respected the adjustments they made at halftime, going to a back five and really sort of making it difficult for TFC the last 45 minutes. And, you know, he talked about what a great story, you know, Simcoe is, and, you know, what they're doing in the, you know, in the local community and, you know, that ownership group and everything. So it wasn't like that this was kind of like a, you know, just sort of like a dump on Simcoe County and just sort of like, you know, absolutely trash them. It was the greater context was, you know, he also had some nice things to say about them as well. So I think that's important to point out as well.
Yeah, no, think he's trying to, sorry. Yeah, you are right. You are right. But the media picks up on certain things that you say.
I know.
Keywords. And that's what they go after. And the same with the World Cup. There were certain things that he said where people go after. And yes, he does. He does say a lot of good things and a lot of positive things, but he lets himself down at times with certain words that he uses. And I think that needs to be corrected at times. But
hey, listen,
he was great.
As a member of the media for years and years, you know, this country is devoid of characters. It really is in numerous sports, right? I'm watching the Leafs right now. There isn't a character on that team. It really isn't, right? They say nothing. So I open my arms to any manager that says what he truly feels. So I appreciate that. And listen, if it was Sartini, we'd be saying, "Ah, oh, Vanny's hilarious. Ah, oh, listen, oh, good old Vanny. Ah, oh, what a per." Now it's John. It's like, "Oh, no, shouldn't have said that," right? Two different personalities.
What are you saying? John needs an Italian accent?
Yeah. If John had an Italian accent,
he gets rid of that Geordie accent.
It's more playful, right? Yeah, exactly.
Hey, don't get me wrong. I like John. I do. I like John. I think, you know, I think he's a good coach. I like what he's doing. But we're just pinpointing one thing that he said. That's all.
Yeah. Yeah. I get it. I think he's really, I mean, whether he should have said it or not, we can debate. But he's really just trying to develop a culture, a swagger in that room as well. Whether we are Toronto FC, we should expect a lot of ourselves, because the last couple of years it's been a disaster there. We know that. Now, should he use a match against a League One team? I don't know. That could be debated, right? But I get what he's trying to do there, because there isn't a culture of winning in that team right now. There just isn't. Even though they're playing a little bit better now, there's some good stories. Prince Owusu scores again, J-Mo. Mm-hmm. And forget the opponents. That's 3 straight games he scored in. He had a couple of assists too. Mm-hmm. He is doing, I think, the job that they need from their center forward at the moment.
Yeah, I think, you know, Prince has certainly come good. It's, you know, it's 3 games in a row that he scored. It's 5 goals in 6 games. I think he had like a pair of assists yesterday. So we're starting to see what, you know, TFC saw in him when they signed him last summer, because it was, you know, a pretty rough start to beginning of life in MLS for the German forward. I think he went like his first 11 games without a goal contribution. And he's certainly, you know, come good lately, and you can start to see why they, you know, went after him so aggressively. So it's, you know, it's interesting to see. Now, whether he can sustain this is going to be like the larger question. I still have doubts. I mean, it's probably my bias. I just like forwards who can sort of stretch defenders. You know, guys, you know, someone like Thierry Henry or Andrei Shevchenko, for to use past examples. That's my personal preference. But, you know, Owusu is a different type of forward, and he's getting the job done now. And, you know, God bless him. Whether he can continue to sort of score at this rate and continue to produce is another matter entirely. So it'll be something I'll be watching on with great interest.
You're saying that Owusu isn't Andrei Shevchenko?
Well, no, not just certainly not a reputation, but the point I was making is like in terms of playing stuff, right? He's a very different type of striker.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. Cassius Malula also finally hit. Is it Malulu? How do you pronounce his name?
Malula,
right? Yeah. Finally hit the score sheet as well. Again, another example of a player that hasn't exactly hit the turf running. Can he build on this? I mean, how much can he take from a game against a League One opponent? If you're struggling for confidence as a footballer and you get your moment, you score your goal, can you build on it? Or do you always look back and think, you know what? Yeah, but it was a team well below our standard.
Well, you have to build on it, really, as a footballer. You know, you're going to get an opportunity. You've got to take it with both hands. And you've got to put a good performance in where you catch the manager's eye, regardless of who you're playing, whether it's a semi-pro team, pro team, first division, second division. It doesn't matter. When you get those opportunities, you have to put everything out there and give everything that you've got, because again, you want to be in the manager's thoughts when he's putting that team sheet together for that next match in the league. And you've got to build on it. Yes. And it's always difficult sometimes. Sometimes when you get a taste of it and you have a good performance in a cup match, and then the next week you're not in the 18 and you're thinking, when's my next opportunity going to come? And you've got to be patient. You've got to keep working. And, you know, we've had this discussion before where, you know, even when I was playing, I had to wait for other people to get injured before I could get into a match when I was younger. And it's no different now. So if you get a cup game, take it. If a player gets injured and you get that opportunity, that's the moment you're waiting for. You have to take it. And it's patience, especially when you're being a young guy. And you've got players in front of you, like a Bernadeschi or a Sario or certain other players that are normally the first on the team sheet. You've got to wait and be patient until your time comes. It is difficult. It is difficult being a young player trying to get that opportunity.
I had to wait for Jerry Dobson to get sick to host Premier League on a Saturday, right? And yeah. So, you know, Jerry, please let it be a terrible illness. Give me a couple of weeks here, you know? Yes, always looking forward to
it. It's like
to
everything.
That.
You got to wait for your opportunity.
You never know, right? When it's going to come, right? Yeah. A little sniffle and boom, you're in there. And you're never seeing
looking back.
Well, it's like you with Dickio, right? When Dickio got sick, you know, and you filled in on Sportsnet too, Jimmy.
That's right, yeah.
Same thing. Yeah. Beach is sick. Jimmy, can you fill in? Yep. And look where you are now on Footy Prime.
And he's coaching.
Exactly. Back to Malula, though. J-Mo, what are your thoughts? What can he build in this, do you think? What's the story there?
I think it's going to be difficult for him. I mean, just talking to – I mean, I asked John about Malula after the game last night and, you know, certainly had some nice things to say about the performance. But reading between the lines, I just don't get the sense that Malula is kind of like his first or second choice, right? He kind of mentioned how he comes from – he's coming from a league, you know, South African league that, you know, probably isn't the strongest sort of professional domestic campaign. You know, even on the African content and how it's just, you know, he's got some things to work through with regards to that. So, I just don't see him as the go-to guy, you know, for TFC. Now, maybe during the summer, you know, they're going to be losing some players for international opportunities or sort of international duty. And, you know, the club has been kind of plagued by injuries and, you know, you suspect that more injuries are going to be coming along if they're sort of the first few weeks of the season are any indication. So he might get the odd chance, but I don't see him. I think there's a lot to do for him to get a sustained run in this team.
Yeah. You're probably right there. Can we make a rule? I'm not sure. I haven't read your column yet on tfcrepublic.ca just yet, but it seems every time Ozo reaches a certain number of games, it's a deal. Like, oh, it's 350th game, the most ever from a TFC. He's played more games than anyone. So every benchmark's going to be the new record for TFC. Can we just stop this now? Or am I being cruel? Like, oh, it's his 400th game. Well, and no one's played more. Yeah, we know that. You know, all these benchmarks we're setting him. Mm-hmm. Am I being a little bit harsh here? Should we celebrate every benchmark game that he plays at this point?
I think you're being a bit harsh. I mean, 350 games, it's a big deal. I'm not suggesting, you know, they kind of like throw him a parade or anything like that. But, you know, to just sort of like recognize it and send out.
350? What's 350?
Well, it's a big number. I mean.
It's a big number. So is 351. So is 349. Why 350?
You're being a tit now.
Yeah. You're just.
Honestly.
500, yeah. Biggie. Let's celebrate that. Right. And when Ozo retires, wherever he's at, we'll celebrate that. And we'll get a statue outside being 100%. Let's do that. But it seems, oh, wait, it'd be 375 later this season. Wow, let's celebrate 375. Well, so what?
350. It's huge.
But it's an arbitrary number.
The reason why people are talking about, because to play that many games for one club as a player, that's a big deal. Not many people get to do that or have that opportunity or last that long with one club. And 350 games for Toronto FC, yeah, of course. It should be tough.
I agree. Listen, Ozo's a legend, 100%, right? It just seems an arbitrary number, 350. Why 250? Okay, I can see that to a certain point. You know, it's more of a benchmark number, but 350? That's what I would prefer to see 400, a nice round 400. You're not buying into it, are you? Either one of you.
Sharms, I just think you're, I don't know.
Go say it, John. You can say it. Just say
anything. You're being a dick.
Yeah. It's like, why is this such a problem? I mean, and it's interesting, too, because when we spoke to Oso after the game yesterday, he didn't know, like, until about 5 minutes before, like, he kind of stepped into the press room to talk about it. So,
see? It's not a big deal. He doesn't even know.
Hey, but like, what really is the sort of the issue here? I mean, they sent out a tweet congratulating me on his 350th cap. He got asked about it. You know, that's it. Like, what? Like, you know.
You know what the problem is with it?
Yeah.
The problem is that Everton beat Liverpool yesterday, and then the Leafs lost. And I'm in a shitty mood. Okay, that's the problem.
All right.
Okay. I'm grasping onto things to hate right now.
Clearly.
All right. Let's move on then, shall we? Second question. All right. Who is Derek Etienne Jr.? J-Mo, he just at the deadline.
Yeah, like a veteran. Yeah, veteran, talented winger with, I think, 8 seasons of MLS experience under his belt. Is won a Supporters Shield with New York Red Bulls, won an MLS Cup with the Columbus Crew. Was really a big part of that Crew team that won the MLS Cup in 2020. So, this is an experienced guy that they're getting who can play in a variety of positions as a wing back, as a winger, can play centrally or midfield, can even fill in at number nine position. So, it's an interesting pickup. It's what's also interesting is, I had a chance to speak to Jason Hernandez yesterday, after the trade was made. And, he said that they were pretty far down the line in terms of contract talks with an international player from abroad. But that deal didn't sort of happen. At the same time, they were kind of like they were kind of, having talks with Etienne. So they kind of quickly had to pivot to sort of get that deal done. So he certainly wasn't their first choice. I think it was very much plan B for TFC. So interesting to see how he'll just kind of fit in at, with the Reds and how John is going to use him. But as I said, talented player with, good pedigree. So it'll be really interesting to see how he fits in.
But for them to get an international player, it would be a free agent, would it not?
Yes.
Yeah. Right.
So,
who's a free agent of note available? I was on Transfer Market a while back, which is a popular tool for a lot of football managers. and there wasn't much out there.
Yeah, I mean,
Alex Pato.
I have to correct myself. So I think Jason Hernandez says that the player was currently under contract under his current club. So they could have, because this was the transfer window for MLS, they could have sort of like paid a fee to get him in. But it sounded like just because he was under contract that it was going to, take some doing to get a deal done, right? So,
but the European window isn't open. It's closed.
Yeah, but they can still sell? They can still sell to an MLS club. Because
they can? Really?
Yeah, because their MLS window is open. It's TFC couldn't sell to...
Right. They can bring a player in.
Yes, exactly.
Okay, I didn't realize that. I thought that even when the window's closed, you can't do business.
You can't do, but if you, for instance, Chelsea couldn't sort of sell a player to Arsenal because
within Europe, gotcha.
Yeah, they closed. But different countries have different windows. So, I think Turkey or Brazil, just throwing out two sort of completely different countries. They operate under different windows, so it's not sort of like the unified sort of one that most of Europe has. So they were still allowed to do business. Now they couldn't, as I said, so there was still an opportunity because MLS operates by its own window. It could still sort of bring in players from other countries via transfer.
Mm-hmm. Gotcha.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous 2-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
What up, Primers? It's JC, that guy. Don't miss a second of Premier League action only on FuboTV. Subscribe at FuboTV.com/FootyPrime. With Serie A, League One, and One Soccer 2, you can get it all at FuboTV.com/FootyPrime. Now, back to the show.
What do you think that we'll see Etienne Jr.? What position mostly will we see? Because they've got a lot of wide players, but the younger wide players, obviously. And obviously, we talked about the central issues.
Right.
What do you think we'll see him at?
I think they're going to play him out wide. I think, I could see him sort of, filling in on the other flank. And I think they're going to just sort of deploy him as an out and out winger. That's, I think, his natural position and his best position. So I think that's probably what they're going to go for.
I see. We'll get to the final question now. Ozo, went back to Ozo, who I'm a huge fan of, by the way, just for the record. I'm a huge fan. Just this, these arbitrary numbers.
But you anyway. Wouldn't know it by...
Hey, whatever, I've always supported Ozo. So he essentially renegotiates his contract, so down from a DP spot. He still gets his money, of course, allowing Richie Larea, remember him, to take the DP tag for this season. It won't be a DP tag for next season, meaning there's a spot open, I believe, for next year. Is that correct? Is that kind of what's happened here?
Yeah. The DP, now, from what Jason Renan has told me, like the DP tag won't sort of apply for next year, so they'll have a potentially an open slot to use on a third designated player if they want to fill it.
You broke the story, right, on TFC Republic?
Oh, no, broke it. I mean, Jason Hernandez kind of told us. He spoke to both Neil Davidson and I. So,
who got it out there first?
I honestly don't know. I don't care about breaking stories and stuff like that.
I'm anymore. Glad you said that. Not a way it's stupid, but a lot of people do. But we'll let, for instance, we're big fans of OG Neil Davidson as well. Yeah. But we'll give this one to you, okay? Just for what it's worth. Fair.
Okay, sure.
But it makes this interesting, right, for next year.
Sure.
So that open DP spot. Jimmy, is it commonplace for players to renegotiate their deals mid-season or in-season or, to talk themselves down from a DP spot?
Look, I don't know if there ever is a perfect timing for negotiation. It's just when it's right for both parties. Obviously, with Oso, it won't be him going in and discussing it. His agent will deal with it behind the scenes. Oso would just focus on his football and concentrate on that. But, when the time's right, and sometimes, if a player's doing well and there's a little sniff around about maybe other teams that are interested in a certain player, then the club will actually come to the player and his agent and say, we need to talk and negotiate. So there's various situations that happen behind the scenes of why the two end up coming together to negotiate deals. So, it happens mid-season, it happens in the summer, it happens in the winter. It doesn't matter when it is. It's just both parties coming together at the right time to make sure it's a right fit for both.
Go ahead, Jamer.
No, I was just going to say, the important part here is that, he sort of reworked his deal, Oso did, was so that they could bring in Larea because they needed to get Larea done with the transfer fee involved from Nottingham Forest and his contract sort of wages required him taking a DP tag, right? They already had the three DPs. So, credit to Oso for doing that, right? I mean, he's, I'm sure they sort of compensated in like another way in terms of, it might take him a little bit longer to get his money or, they'll give him like a contract extension where he'll have the option to extend it at the same deal or whatever.
Yeah.
Whatever that is. But he's still, in the short term, he's still leaving money off he's taking money off the table for himself. So it's, full credit to him for making the sacrifice to help the club bring in, someone like Richie Larea.
Yeah. And I'm sure they'll look after him in the back end of his contract as well.
Absolutely.
Take it off him now, then, okay, here, we'll put it into next season or the season after.
Yeah, I mean, he's there for life, right? He's going to be a TFC player for life. And I imagine after he retires, there'll be opportunities from the club as well. But still, Jimmy, you can speak to this, I'm sure. The whole having a DP tag beside your name to a certain players means a lot. It's a stature thing, I would think. Is it not? Forgetting the money for a second here, but having a DP in MLS?
I think when you have that, you're a valuable asset to the club, aren't you? With a DP tag, it means they think an awful lot about you. You're a big part of what they're looking to build and do. So yeah, there's a bit of weight in your shoulders, but as a player, I mean, you probably don't think about it as you're playing and training, but you know, when that's awarded to you, DP status, and yeah, of course, it means you're a big part of the club.
This whole thing started in 07, of course, when Beckham arrived. That's the Beckham rule was the DP rule. You arrived the same time, Jimmy, as well.
Yeah.
How much conversation was there in the clubhouse about the DP and who might get that tag?
Not much. I mean, I wasn't privy to it either, right, when I came mm-hmm. back. I think they were just waiting for the right opportunity to get the player that they felt would do the job and come in and help build this club. And I know they brought Julian in. Julian was a DP.
He was the first one, right, wasn't he?
Yeah.
For TFC.
Like Julian was a six, and I think people expected, you know, an individual that was going to make that much money to contribute more going forward.
Well, because Mo told everyone that's what he was.
Yeah, but Julian was never that player. Right? Mm-hmm. And I loved the way that Julian played. I thought he was a brilliant player, playing just in front of the back four, back three, and getting on the ball, you know, getting things going and breaking things up. So, yeah, he was – it was difficult for Julian, I think, because people expected a lot more and something different than the player that Julian actually was.
It was based on one really, really great Gold Cup where he played in a more advanced role, if I remember. Yeah. And he was attacking, he was forward thinking, and then Mo grabbed him thinking that's what he was getting. And Julian, even back then, I remember talking to him, you probably did too, J-Mo. He was saying, that's not who I am. Did you watch me at Deportivo? I wasn't an advanced player.
Well, I can even remember talking to Julian. I mean, this was long after his career was over, but he had some sort of like clause in his contract about like bonuses in terms of like goals scored and stuff like that, which he thought was crazy because he wasn't, you know, I'm sure he scored a little bit at Deportivo during his career, but he wasn't certainly a prolific, you know, goal scorer. So it was just pretty clear that I don't think Mo kind of fully understood the type of player that he was getting.
Yeah.
Jimmy, did you try and demand the DP tag?
No. No, I didn't.
No, you should have done. Did you use an agent back then or was it your own deals?
No, I had an agent when I first came back. And then after
Was that Barry? Barry McLean?
Barry was an agent of mine in Canada.
Yeah, okay.
Times. And after that, towards the end, I did it myself.
Mm-hmm. Well, you should have begged for that DP spot, shouldn't you? That's, I would have done if I was your agent. I'm the first freaking, I'm a captain. I'm the first signing of TFC, for Christ's sakes. Give me that tag. Beckham's got it.
Yeah. I think, though, the DP spot really, if you're going to be honest, should be a number 9 or a number 10.
Yeah, it's interesting that, isn't it?
Spend your money on a striker that's going to go bang your goals and win your games.
Mm-hmm. There's been those centre-back DPs, right? I mean, or Kalini was a DP, wasn't it? He must have been.
Yeah, there's been centre-backs as DPs, so it's
not many, though.
Any goalkeepers? I'm trying to think.
Was Tim Howard?
There probably was.
I think Tim Howard was when he came back.
I think so.
Yeah, it's kind of crazy, isn't it?
There's probably been good goalkeepers, too.
That's nuts. I mean, we can say this because Craig's not on the show right now. He'd defend that decision to the end. Of course you can. When Julio Cesar came to TFC, it was a short-term contract, but that wasn't DP tag, was it?
No.
That's still probably the most surreal moment, I think,
in
TFC history, isn't it? Yeah. When you heard that, J-Mo, like, oh, c'est what?
I was stunned, but I mean, the connection there was with Ryan Nelson, right? Because he knew him. So, but yeah, absolutely. Like I can remember, like this was, you know, the Brazilian national team starting goalkeeper, someone who had, you know, played for Inter Milan and won, you know, Champions League with them. So it was just like, sorry, what? He's coming there. you know, a great move. And he was well liked and really well respected. And he really sort of embraced, the MLS experience, right? I mean, he didn't sort of, I mean, it was very much him coming here was to stay in game shape to a large extent for the World Cup, but he didn't sort of treat it like that. He really treated, I think, the experience with respect and, really sort of, as I said, just embraced Toronto and, you know, playing in MLS. So, which was, you know, good on him. He was a really good guy.
Yeah, he was a great guy. And you're right. It was a bit surreal watching World Cup and they're talking about him saying Toronto FC.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, wow, that's amazing.
Well, Jimmy, you were coaching, right? You were coaching under Nelly there, weren't you, at that time?
Yeah, I was there, I was coaching with him, and what a great guy. And he loved it. He loved the North American experience. He loved the city. You know, he loved training and playing for the club. And he was good friends with Ryan Nelson as well, and that's why he ended up coming.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because I believe it was QPR, wasn't it, I think, mm-hmm. where he'd been. Yeah. He wasn't playing. I forget who moved in there, and he wasn't getting the playing time before the World Cup, so that's what instigated the move.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Who was the incumbent TFC goalkeeper when he moved in?
Joe Bendick.
It was Joe Bendick. That's right. Who played pretty well.
Yeah, and Joe, who probably not the most warmest guy, in my recollection of him, but he really took to sort of my recollection. Maybe I'm misremembering it. Is he really took to Cesar, and they became quite good friends. And I think they even, like, the club presented, Julio on his last game, some sort of like ring or something, just to sort of appreciation for all his service. And it was Joe who's kind of presented it to him. So, there was a great deal of respect. And, you know, Joe had every right to kind of feel somewhat aggrieved, right? Because he was losing his starting spot, but, he didn't act that way. And again, Joe can be, you know, a pretty prickly guy to deal with. So, it was just kind of interesting to see that sort of dynamic.
Jimmy, were you part of that conversation when it was, hey, Joe, listen, we've got some news. You're playing great, but we're bringing in Julio Cesar.
You know what? I really like Joe. Joe made me laugh.
Really?
Character. Oh, yeah. Like, okay. Behind the scenes, when you got to know him, what he was really like, I actually liked Joe.
Oh, wow. Interesting.
Yeah, good. Made me laugh. Just his demeanor and the way he spoke at times. But I think it was – that conversation was with Stuart Kerr. Ryan, a few of us, and I think when Joe realized who was coming in, the stature of this man, Julio Cesar is coming in, and he's going to be your number one. There's not much that Joe could actually say, is there?
Mm-hmm.
And it was a great opportunity for Joe, because now you're getting to train with him, you're getting to learn off this guy that's going to the place for Brazil, that's going to World Cup. What a great experience it was for Joe. So yeah, it wasn't as bad.
That's a good point, eh? I mean, he's got a great story now. The time I was number two to Julio Cesar,
yeah,
and what he brought, and maybe he became a better goalkeeper out of it, seeing how someone, a world class keeper like that, you know, went about his business. So yeah, no, it's interesting. So TFC at Orlando this weekend, coming off that win against New England. Any final thoughts, JMO, regarding TFC heading into this one?
Just that it's going to be a tough game, because it's going to be their third in, you know, a week. It's a short turnaround. They're still carrying some injuries. So again, I'll be watching on with keen interest, just in terms of how John, you know, gets his sort of, does the squad rotation, and, you know, how much, you know, which players he will lean on, right? Because, you know, Prince Owusu and Kevin Long played 45 minutes and also played 45 minutes before being subbed out at halftime yesterday. So, how much are they going to see? Is, you know, does Sigurd Rostad draft back into the lineup? Does, you know, what kind of changes, if any, does John make? So presumably he's going to go back to a starters, but to what degree? Because, again, it is a short turnaround for them.
Well, for all your content on TFC, make sure you read tfcrepublic.ca. Subscribe, of course, and follow Footy Prime throughout the week. We have three question podcasts on Montreal, on Vancouver. We have Sasha Kleshton later today on MLS Box to Box, as well as our regular foundational podcasts, next one being on Friday. Make sure you follow us on YouTube and check out wearefootyprime.com. I think that's it. I think that's all the promos. There's a lot there. Holy crap. You can also see it scrolling along the bottom of the screen here as well, the first time, which is kind of exciting for us, those of you who see it on YouTube. Anyway, until next time, Jimmy, JMO, thank you so much. I'm Shams. Cheers for listening.
This episode of Footy Prime has been brought to you by Fubo TV. Make sure to subscribe to Footy Prime wherever you get your podcasts and follow us on Twitter at @footy_prime and on Instagram at @footyprimeig. And visit wearefootyprime.com and sign up for our newsletter.
Great stuff, boys. That was a fun show.
Cool.
I like that.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market. Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.